Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Pylon Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host, and I say modest with a capital M straight up. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I won some awards for my journalism, boxing writer. Straight up, I'm supposed to know something about boxing, but guess what? I've always found the average fan knows a little bit more, so I open up the toll-free phone line at the top of each hour just once, and I give you the opportunity to call in if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. The listener line, once again, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, you can also get us on the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. The text line here in the studio, 415-275-1613. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, we come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Like 1,000 different platforms we're coming to you on. Of course, Saturday and Sunday, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Sports Byline. Straight up, today, of course, we are previewing the heavyweight title fight between the paper champion, Anthony Joshua. Yes, he has a lot of belts, but he's not the linear champion. Everybody knows the world heavyweight champion is Tyson Fury. Never been beaten, 30 fights, that one draw against Deontay Wilder was a bit of a heist, no doubt about that. Of course, they're going to hook it up next month. But Usyk, Oleg Usyk, undefeated, 18-0, actually 25-0 if you count his World Boxing Series fights, but straight up, he's won 25 fights, he's never lost, but he's smaller than the other guys. So size prevails and size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Will that come true today? We'll find out a little bit later, but straight up, next up, we'll bring in the boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
I was like, when I was in this marriage, I was wide open like a puppy dog. She could have did anything. I was like, okay, I love you still. You know, I didn't care about any money. I didn't want to lose my wife at the time. I was just a young kid, and I've never really been in that degree of matrimony before. And it just devastated me. I wasn't prepared for any kind of emotional struggle like that at all.
Yeah. As what role model had you had for a good marriage?
Nobody really. Just entertainers I would watch. And the most entertainers I would watch were womanizers.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So you just said that until recently you'd never been faithful. So you weren't faithful to Robin either?
Oh, no.
And your second wife, were you faithful there?
No.
Mike Tyson spilling the guts. Iron Mike, of course, back in the news always because of the fact his arch nemesis, Mr. Evander Holyfield, you know, the guy that he bit off a portion of his ear back in like 1996. Anyway, Holyfield, of course, was embarrassed a couple of weeks ago. Riddick Bowe was pulled from an upcoming fight card. Riddick Bowe, the 1988 Olympic silver medalist, of course, the top-notch fighter from the U.S. back in 88. Of course, we thought he was going to do bigger and better things. But Jack Fisk, the Hall of Fame writer, caught him at the Olympic trials in Concord, California. I'm talking about Riddick Bowe. And he said to him, "You really expect to be world heavyweight champ with love handles? Ooh, Lord." And of course, Riddick had discipline problems. Had he not had discipline problems, he might have been heavyweight champion for a long time. So Riddick Bowe's been pulled off the card, so maybe you won't have to watch another guy get embarrassed real quick. Speaking of embarrassments, we'll get into the world of the UFC. Of course, Dana White, I'll talk about that in about 40 minutes past the hour. Straight up, we'll take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber, our PhD of boxing himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, it looks like Canelo Alvarez struck first blood this week against Mr. Caleb Plant.
Well, yes, he did. We learned one thing. Canelo's English is improving. But he still, he understands the word mother very well. So he heard the word mother, and that was it. That was the trigger, and Caleb got a little love tap preview.
Well, here's what's happening. When you try to translate MF into Spanish, it doesn't sound like that. And plus, MF, that's what we're talking about, Mother Ducker. It's got like like Bernie Mac said, it's got like 1,000 different definitions. I mean, you could be, God, that's one bad MF. Another, man, that guy's a no good MF. I mean, it just goes back and forth. Anyway, Canelo didn't get it, but Canelo cracked him pretty good. I'm looking at Caleb Plant's face. He's got a couple of nicks under that right eye. So two nicks under the eye. Canelo strikes first. Of course, their fight's going to take place in November on pay-per-view, coming to us from Las Vegas. Caleb Plant's undefeated. He's got that WBA belt. Outside of that, does he bring anything else to the dance?
Well, he's undefeated, so that's that marketability. I think he's, you know what? I firmly believe that this is probably the easiest fight for Canelo out of this whole unification tour that he's been on. But Caleb Plant is not a bum, you know, but he's unproven. And, you know, his two best fights are against Caleb Truax and, Ustegui. You know, he's got quick hands. He's a somewhat of a slick boxer, but I guess it's kind of easy to look like a slick boxer when you look at the competition he's faced, you know, so we're going to find out. He's also now working with Andre Ward. I don't know how much improvement can happen in a short period of time. They certainly fight totally different styles, you know, talking about Andre Ward, and you know, he's doesn't lack in confidence. But sometimes when a guy has a lot of bravado, I wonder if he's trying to convince himself.
Speaking of bravado and convincing himself, how much money will it take to convince Andre Ward to come out and fight Canelo Alvarez?
That's a great question. I heard his lawyer, Josh Dubin, say that he, in an interview on about several months ago, that fight was offered to him and Andre Ward turned it down. But then again, Josh Dubin said that he would be willing to fight Jake Paul. So I don't know. Yeah, this is. I mean, if you don't mind me saying where it was on Joe Rogan's show, and he said that. And so I don't know if it's. I mean, Andre Ward would make the biggest check he's ever made in his life. However, two things would be on the line: his legacy. I mean, it's something to be said to retire undefeated and retire on your own terms. But this is boxing. When do fighters actually stay retired? You know, very few, you know, and this is a good chance that he could be embarrassed. You know, he hasn't fought in a long time. And yes, Andre Ward at one point was hands down the best, pound for pound, tremendous resume, but he's been out of that ring for a while. And I don't know if fighting someone in their prime like Canelo is conducive to him staying undefeated.
He's never lost a fight in his life. He lost one fight as an amateur, and I'll never forget Marsha King telling me next day, "You wouldn't believe it, Pedro." But she was like livid. And I said, "Well, what's up?" She goes, "They took away this kid's undefeated record." Blah 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 blah. And she's like, Marsha
was 12,
right? Yeah, he was like 12, I think, 12 or 13.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had seen some of his fights early on. Over at Oakland at King's Gym, because that's where he trained in this and that. He was a good kid. I mean, we always thought that when I predicted he would win the Olympic gold medal, a TV guy here at Channel 4, Gary Radnich, his father was a professional fighter by the name of Gus Radnovich. Anyway, he said to me, "Stop shilling." That's what he told me. "Stop shilling." And I said to him, "Will you buy me lunch, dinner 1,000 times if I'm right here?" "Oh, you're not going to be right." I said, "Well, will you do it?" "I tell you what, Pedro, I'll give you lunch. I'll give you dinner at the House of Prime Rib 10 times. And that's like a $150 dinner each time, okay?" So anyway, I said, "Yeah, all right, do it." So Andre Ward goes out there and wins the gold medal. I get on this TV show with Gary Radnich, and he never mentions the prime rib once.
Okay. Selective memory, huh?
I brought it up. You didn't think I was going to let that way. I go, "We're about to end this way. Wait. You owe me some food." Anyway, I did go to the House of Prime Rib at least once. But the bottom line is, you know, we're watching old guys fight old guys now. And of course, we're talking about Canelo. Canelo's not an old guy. He's in his prime. But Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, Oscar De La Hoya, and now Floyd Mayweather are talking about that a second time. I didn't like it the first time. I remember interviewing both these guys – at the Civic Auditorium here in San Francisco and being totally bored out with both pre-fight interviews, Mayweather and Oscar. It just, I don't want to see it again. It would be like, it would be painful.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is sitting home saying, you know what, I really would love to see this rematch 10 years later, you know, or whatever, how many years it's been. That's something that we could all do without. It's ego. You know, that's all it is. It's ego. I mean, both those guys are very financially secure, you know. So what are they looking for, you know?
You know, I'm looking at somebody shot me a text here on Andre Ward. How much money do I think that if they offered Andre Ward $30 million, I think he would come out of retirement in a minute.
I think so, too. I mean, $30 million is a lot. You know, I want, you know, that. So basically a 50-50 split it would have to take.
I don't know if it's a 50-50 split, but the bottom line is I think if you came up with that kind of money, I think that he would come out. And, you know, he's been off a while, but he's a naturally, he's a better boxer per se than Canelo would be. Well, he's one of the better boxers, of course, of the era. But 2004, remember, he won the Olympic gold in 2004. That's 17 years ago, Sock.
Yeah. And also the fact he's a clean liver, you know, pardon the pun. You know, I know he doesn't drink, but he lives clean.
He doesn't, you know, even swear.
He's always in shape. I mean, you can tell on camera.
He's so boring. And
I will say this. I do think Andre got out at the right time because, you know, that first Kovalev fight could have gone either way, you know. And
No, it could have gone the other way.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. So let's say, you know, hey, name a legend who has not gotten a gift in their career. And Andre got a gift that night, you know. And I don't think at that level, he doesn't hang with the other light heavyweights at that same time. He does not beat Better Biev either, you know, if he would have hung around. So Andre got out at the right time. And it's amazing because at one point people used to question Andre Ward's chin. Didn't he get dropped by this guy Boone? I remember on a Fox show on a Sunday.
So I was there.
You were there.
I was
you
like, and then, whoa!
And then you really saw gradually just Andre just seemed to get better with each fight. He just looked better and better and better. And that's kind of like what we see with Canelo, ironically. It would be a tremendous fight. It would be the biggest fight of the year. And it would be the biggest fight for Andre Ward, hands down. And he's almost playing with house money because, okay, he comes out of retirement and he loses. Okay, you know, he didn't beat him in his prime. So maybe it doesn't take that much money. Maybe $20 million. You know, it'd be great. I would like to see it. Just because of the fact, because Andre Ward, we know, has all his faculties and he's not, you know, beat up.
Okay. Virgil Hunter, of course, training all those guys over there in Richmond, California. Has he got Andre Ward on the comeback trail? Well, Andre Ward is in the gym. We'll just put it to you like that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More after the break with the boxing's true PhD, Socrates Palmer.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
When I last saw Riddick Bowe, he had beaten some schmear in Oklahoma. I forget who the guy's name was, but the bottom line was Riddick Bowe was like 300 pounds. Told me to introduce him at 259, something like that. Man, I said to him, you got to be kidding me. I walked back across. It was a ring announcer, and I think I was doing the ring announcing and some regional TV. But the bottom line is Riddick Bowe has been pulled out of a fight with a, get this, an NBA player because he's not fit to box. Bottom line is, he's not fit to box. Have you seen Riddick Bowe lately? When they call him Big Daddy, he's like Big Granddaddy. Straight up, he deserves to be no, let's be honest, Sock. He don't belong nowhere near a boxing ring. Maybe, since he doesn't talk all that well anymore, don't give him a microphone either.
The first time I met Riddick Bowe, I was somewhere in New York, and he had this fur coat on. He goes, they call me Big Daddy, but I'm smooth as a caddy. Something like that. Big like a truck, smooth like a caddy. I was like, who the hell is that? Like, I know who you are, bro. I mean, thank God that, you know, that reason stepped in. I mean, Riddick Bowe should not be anywhere near a ring unless it's to sign autographs and take pictures with kids and talk to other fighters about, you know, this is what it looks like when you don't take your career serious.
Well, you know, Riddick Bowe. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but his guy, Rock mm-hmm. Newman, his manager, Rock Newman, he had all kinds of plans for Riddick. He took Riddick over to meet the Pope. He was going to turn Riddick Bowe into the next Muhammad Ali. I'm telling you, he had all these things going on, but at the same time, Riddick was eating. And he had an eating issue. I told you when he announced on this show, he announced it right on this show. He goes, I'm going to tell you for the very first time. He goes, I've got I'm going to have a kitchen built in my bedroom. I said, what? So anyway, next time I had him on, I go, how's the kitchen in the bedroom going? He goes, yeah, I don't have to go downstairs to eat. I mean, that's how lazy he was that he wouldn't walk downstairs to eat. I mean, the guy had enough money to put an elevator in if he wanted to.
Riddick Bowe, and it's a shame because Riddick Bowe was a overnight superstar when he beat Evander Holyfield. He was, like you said, yes, he met the Pope. He was on all the talk shows. Back in the day when boxing was still front page news, you know, I remember it. He doing radio interviews. He was all over the place. And it's a shame when you say that a guy who became a world champ was still such a wasted talent. We never got the mega fight that we should have had with him and Lennox Lewis, but him and Evander Holyfield, I mean, those are just epic fights, you know, epic fights that took a lot out of both men. And, you know, Riddick Bowe, it's always what could have been, you know. Riddick Bowe should have been mentioned in the top 10 all time. That's how much talent he had. And, you know, we'll never know.
Well, he laid a whooping on. He knocked out Michael Douglas in one round. Of course, got the unanimous nod over Holyfield. Who did I see him knock out that I was super impressed with? The guy from Puerto Rico. I can't think of his name right now. Oh, Rodolfo Marin. He knocked out Marin in, I think, the second round outdoor at the Mirage Hotel. Yeah, it was outdoor at the Mirage. Anyway, he broke this guy's jaw in four spots, okay, with a perfectly placed punch to the front of the jaw. You know what I mean? It wasn't like no hook. It was just that's how much power and pop he had in his punch. Riddick was 6'4", man. Riddick could sling. But then Riddick, of course, got into eating. You know, he has an eating problem, and a lot of guys have eating disorders. I don't, thank goodness. I'm looking at his record here. He fought Tony Tubbs. He fought Tyrell Biggs. Of course, he beat Tyrell Biggs, stopped him in eighth round. Tyrell Biggs will be the first super heavyweight to ever win a gold medal in the Olympics. Of course, they introduced the super heavyweight class back in 1984, the year, of course, that Dan Duva signed the entire team. 1984, Dan Duva signs a team. Would Lou Duva be anything without his son? And I'm going to put it to you, I'll put a question to you. Lou Duva's in the Boxing Hall of Fame without a doubt. Good trainer, or a decent trainer, and a club fighter trainer before his Dan broke into the big leagues. But he had a 6-10 record as a pro, so he wasn't that good of a fighter. And then he turned his likes to the promoting and pushing club fighters. And then he got in with the heavyweight fighters. Of course, I'm talking about heavyweights, meaning stars, in 1984 when his son signed the Olympic team. If Dan Duva didn't come around, would Lou Duva be anything in history?
Well, wasn't he Rocky Marciano's buddy? That's how, you know, or they were from the same camp or something to that extent.
He never tried to sell that one on this show.
No, okay. No. Lou was a great character, you know, from the 80s. You know, he was a guy that you associated. He's one of the faces of boxing. And like you said, he was a journeyman fighter himself. Had a tremendous stable, but you know, the smartest people that I know never are the smartest people in the room. You know, you always want to have the right people, the right staff around you. In this case, he's so fortunate that it was his son. So, you know, I don't want to kind of crap on Lou's career.
But definitely
his son was the backbone.
Well, here's what's up. Dan Duva comes up with pay-per-view in 1981. Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hearns are going to hook it up in September 19. It was like 40 years ago this month. Anyway, they were going to hook it up for the welterweight championship. And he says, you know what? I'm going to put this on limited pay-per-view. I'll still have the closed circuit sites at different gyms and theaters and stadiums and things like that. But in certain parts of the country, I'm going to go with home pay-per-view for, like, I think it was $20 or something like that. Anyway, we watched it here in the city. It was the first pay-per-view ever. I think that Dan Duva changed the entire landscape of boxing, because boxing promoters like Bob Arum and Don King said he would kill the game. The game was over. The game would never survive this. And that's how Bob Arum and Don King made most of their money, was on pay-per-view. Anyway, Dan Duva comes up with pay-per-view. He signs the 84 team, and then he brings in Georgie Benton, former welterweight contender. I think was one of the best trainers of all time. Dan Duva was brilliant.
Hey, like I said, a smart man, builds a great team. Everyone knows their role. Lou was the face of the promotion, and Dan was the kind of like the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes.
Good point. All right, let's talk about today. Of course, in a couple of hours here, Oleg Usyk undefeated, like 18 and zip, 25 and zip if you count the World Boxing Series fights. I don't know why they don't count them, but anyway, 25 and zip at 220 pounds, taking on Anthony Joshua, of course, the 24-1, I believe, 16-17 KOs, the former 2012 Olympic gold medalist, got a whole lot of title belts. He's favored 3-1. Oleg Usyk, what does Oleg bring to the dance besides being a sharpshooter?
I think he brings a winning record and a winning attitude. Someone like you mentioned about Andre Ward. When's the last time Alexander Usyk's lost? So he's got that natural confidence already in him. What I think that's going to help, and a lot of people kind of maybe going by, oh, how he looked as a heavyweight. Remember how good Evander Holyfield looked before he fought Mike Tyson? That's the reason he got Mike Tyson, because he looked that ordinary when he fought Bobby Chez. So you can't go by that. Alexander Usyk now has been a heavyweight for over a year. So I believe his body's kind of all right. It's used to carrying around the extra weight. Alexander Usyk is a sharp, sharp puncher. And I think his best chance is to make it a brawl, to have Anthony Joshua get into exchanges. And the guy with the faster hands always gets there first. And as we know, AJ is prone to being dropped, and he has been stopped before. So I think Alexander Usyk is more than a live underdog, and he's going to be the best pure fighter that Anthony Joshua has been in there with.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Right. However, Anthony Joshua is a huge man, and it's the heavyweight division, and it doesn't take much to put someone out.
How come here quick, before I let you go, how come we revere Evander Holyfield the way we do, and he was a steroid cheat without a doubt? I mean, we even have a picture of the guy that delivered steroids to his house, the FedEx guy, taking a picture with Evander. Of course, the steroids were addressed to E. Fields.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Why is it? Because Evander's a nice guy for the most part. The media has always been subjective in every single sport, and should Evander Holyfield probably be treated the same way Barry Bonds is treated? Yes, but it's boxing and,
Listen, I covered Barry Bonds when he was at Sarah.
He's a jerk.
No, he's an ASSHOLE.
Well, then again, remember Barry Bonds is a kid that grew up of privilege. Barry Bonds didn't grow up in the projects. Barry Bonds grew up, with the silver spoon in his mouth. And aside from that, being talented, everyone kissing his butt, of course you're going to be a jerk growing up.
Julio Cesar Chavez, like his father, got tough and got street by fighting and living out of a railroad car in Tijuana. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. lives in a mansion.
There you go. That's it. Right. We'd leave it at that.
Yeah. Have a wonderful week, sir. Say hello to the family. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother. All the best.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, live and exclusively on Ring Talk, live worldwide and WBC TV. More after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Check this out. This is something new from the Tower of Power. Of course, the Godfathers of Soul from the East Bay, Godfathers of Funk, call them what you want. They've been around a long time. Emilio Castillo and the gang, of course, got not one album, but two albums. Cudi says they're drops. They're not CDs anymore. They're not record albums anymore, although we're going back to vinyl, I'm told. But the bottom line is Tower Power's got a couple of new albums out. And, of course, got that 50th anniversary as far as their video's concerned. So Tower Power all over the media world as far as if you're a Tower Power freak. Check them out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Riddick Bowe, what is he known for? I mean, what Riddick Bowe blew my mind doing was when he knocked Larry Donald out like 2 days before the fight. I think it was like December the 1st, 2003. They were fighting at the Forum, this and that, and they had a pre-fight, the last pre-fight press conference before the fight. Of course, the fight was going to take place on a Saturday. I think it took place on the 3rd, and it was on the 1st, and Riddick just sucker punched him with two, boom, left hook and a right hand right there, and they were staring each other down. Okay, I thought Riddick Bowe should have been suspended from boxing. The Athletic Commission should have stepped in, this and that. But, of course, to do that, they would have had to stop and cancel that entire card the next night. Of course, a sold-out card at the Forum. All those people would have been inconvenienced. But the bottom line is Larry Donald supposedly got $200,000 out of Riddick Bowe for getting sucker punched like that. That was worth a lot more than $200,000. Anyway, Riddick Bowe, how broke is he? Rob Hernandez says that he's on GoFundMe trying to get mortgage payment help. Riddick Bowe, what can I say? Of course, Riddick, a piece of work, no doubt about that. But when he knocked out Rodolfo Marin, I guess it was about 1991, somewhere around there. It was at Caesar's Palace, of course, under the, I think it was the Sugar Ray Leonard, Thomas Hearns, the rematch, the undercard at 168 pounds. He looked like the most awesome heavyweight I've ever seen in my life. I mean, mechanically he was there. He had a good chin. I mean, Marin was a little smaller than him, but the bottom line is, I mean, he had size. He was a natural. He was the super heavyweight, no doubt about that. But then again, he folded like a cheap pup tent, of course, against Lennox Lewis in the Olympics. They never fought the super fight. Of course, that was supposed to happen. Then Rock Newman, his manager, the guy I mentioned earlier that wanted to take him, took him over to meet the Pope and all kinds of good stuff, make him a celebrity, Riddick Bowe a celebrity. Instead of training, he was eating. And he ate his way out of a job. That's just the way to put it. Riddick Bowe ate himself out of a job. He was 43-1 as a professional. Now, of course, the only loss was to Evander Holyfield. I thought he lost twice to Andrew Golota. Golota was beating a smack at him. Both times, I think, they were called disqualifications. Eventually, Riddick Bowe's bad eating habits caught up with him, okay? Today, I think we've got two disciplined athletes, and Mr. Usyk coming in at 221 and Mr. Joshua coming in at 241. They're both disciplined. They're both at weight. I think it'll be a great fight. Will it boil down to conditioning? No, I think it will boil down to punch placement. In other words, who can punch their places, who can place their punches the best? And I think that Mr. Usyk's got a slight advantage being a little bit smaller, a little bit faster. Hopefully, he can move around a little bit and get in them shots from the left-handed stance. Because if he can, he's got a good chance of winning. Anyway, Riddick Bowe, 43-1, 33 KOs. Guy, what is he now? 60 years old, 50-something years old. He wants to fight again. Thank God those promoters stepped in and stopped him. Speaking of vaccinated people, I want to mention the fact that Virginia over there in the East Bay, she was afraid of the vaccine. She got vaccinated not once but twice, so she's up and running. And anybody else that hasn't got the vaccine, here's what's up. The only people, Dave Jaco. Remember Dave Jaco? He fought Mike Tyson. I think he fought Riddick Bowe. He fought everybody. He was like the journeyman fighter, the journeyman fighter every heavyweight champion fought, Dave Jaco. Dave got the virus. Dave got COVID, okay? And he was in the hospital for a few days. He's going to go home, hopefully, in a few days from now. But the bottom line is, he came that close to dying because he didn't want to take the vaccine. And somebody said to me the other day, like my brother, I don't want to say he's an idiot, but if the shoe fits, it fits, okay? Bottom line is, he had a liver transplant. My brother had a liver transplant, and he doesn't want to take the vaccine. This is what he told me, folks. This is what he told me. Tell me what's in it. Guy's got maybe a 10th grade education. Maybe. Okay? And he wants to know what's in a vaccine that's going to stop this vaccine from putting you, this virus from putting you in the intensive care unit. I kid you not. He wants to know what's in it. What can I say? This is where people are. They want to know, come on, man, you're not a scientist. Go take the vaccine so everybody else can be safe. But no, a lot of people are running around, a minority, but a lot of people are still running around the country non-vaccinated. If you get it, Do we feel sorry for you? Do we have compassion for people that die when they couldn't have? Sort of like, you know, back in the days with AIDS, it was unprotected sex. You had unprotected sex, a good chance you were going to get AIDS, right? So you knew what to do. Same thing here, only the vaccine is like the condom compared to AIDS. Get me? Get vaccinated anytime you can. They're free anywhere in the United States. Go to your CVS store, your Walgreens, your Long's Pharmacy, whatever it is. Bottom line is you can get a free vaccine. Of course, the flu vaccines are coming up as well, and I've been getting those for the past, I think, 10 or 12 years. At first, I was against the flu vaccine. Why? Why do I want to take a vaccine? Then you get the flu once. Then you want to take the vaccine after that, okay? Because I haven't had the flu in like 10, 12 years. Why? Because I take the vaccine. Anyway, vaccines are good, like Larry Merchant, the retired HBO godfather, who I hope to spend some time with tomorrow on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, he's been taking vaccines since the 1930s. Okay, he can't remember all the vaccines he took. When you go into the military, you take vaccines. When you travel abroad sometimes, certain countries you go to, you gotta take vaccines. This is always a norm. Where did it become intelligent or smart to defy science? That's what I don't get, defying science. I mean, science has led the way. Science has led the way, but yet you can have a couple of people that don't want to go with science. Bottom line is, I hope you do get vaccinated real soon, because if you don't, you're running the risk of getting real sick. And if you get real sick, of course, you may die. And if you die, there won't be a whole lot of sympathy coming to you from here. That's just the way it is. Saul Sanchez, the winner, of course, took out Jarik O'Quinn last night. Of course, these guys fought on Fox Sports, I believe. 17-1 now is Sanchez, double S, 71, 10 KOs, first round knockout. I think the time was 1:58. Jarik O'Quinn was the victim there. Of course, that was on Fox Sports. There are fights on TV. Of course, DAZN's about to go with the WBA, WBO, like all IBF, all these heavyweight titles. There's three or four of them out there, of course. Take that back. There's four notable titles out there. And right now, Tyson Fury has a WBC title and the linear championship. What I mean by the linear championship is that he is considered the world heavyweight champion as far as historians are concerned. The linear world heavyweight champion. Plus, he has a WBC belt. Of course, undefeated as well, 30-0 with the one draw. Of course, then we've got Anthony Joshua. Of course, defending that title today. All those little belts he's got doesn't mean he's a world champion. It means he's got a lot of belts. 24-1, I think 16, 17 wax. Of course, Usyk 18-0, 25-0 if you count those fights in the World Series of Boxing. Does he have a good shot here? Probably not. And the reason why I say that is the boxing establishment, they're picking Usyk to lose this fight. They're bringing him into this fight to lose this fight. And why do I say that? Because there's so much money on the line with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. Of course, that fight was going to take place like in the Middle East in August or September, and they were getting like $120 million guaranteed between the two guys. Some crazy amount of money. But that's more money, far more money than Joshua's going to make with Oleg Usyk today. But Joshua also wants to get out of his Sky Sports contract. So he's got one fight left with Sky Sports. He'll take that fight today with Oleg Usyk, and then he's a free agent in order to peddle his wares on DAZN or ESPN or wherever he decides to go. Obviously, he's going to go with DAZN and Barry Hearn. That's just my opinion. But the bottom line is today, he's in a fight. Is it a real fight? Yes, it's a real fight. Is there a chance that it could be Usyk? It will be Usyk and Joshua in a rematch if Joshua was to lose here. They're not going to put Usyk in, I think, with Tyson Fury. That's not where it's at. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant going to hook it up. Not good for Caleb Plant. You don't piss the champ off. I mean, this is a guy where, like, you know, how can I put this? He's not in Canelo's league. He's got a belt, but not having a belt doesn't make you the guy. It doesn't make you the man. You can have all the belts in the world, man. If you don't have all the belts in the world, it ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it ain't. If you're not the champion, you're not the champion. He's got all these belts. Belts don't matter right now. Tyson Fury is a world linear champion. He happens to have the WBC belt. By the way, tomorrow, scheduled for tomorrow's show, the WBC linear champion at 130 pounds. I'm talking about Oscar Valdez, of course, undefeated, coming off that somewhat controversial win a couple of weeks ago against the Brazilian. He'll be in the house tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. At least his publicist Claudia says he will be here tomorrow, and look for him in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sunday. Of course, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, coming to you live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. Oh, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. I keep going and going, but the bottom line is we're rocking and rolling 24-7, of course. You can also catch our broadcast, our video broadcast, and I forgot to turn the studio lights on today. Sort of lame, isn't it? Anyway, can you notice a little dark in here? I just noticed it right now that it's a little dark in the studio. I didn't turn the studio lights on. You know, sometimes you're not ready for prime time. I guess I wasn't today. I thought I was, but I guess I wasn't. Anyway, Callum, I'm telling like this. Callum Smith is probably going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. Another text coming in here. I'm not critical enough. I'm not critical enough of Rock Newman. I think I am critical enough of Rock Newman. I really do. Cuddy just came in and turned on the lights, and the lights just went on. Did that change anything? I don't know. I look a little whiter. Thanks, Cuddy. I look a little whiter, but that's probably about it on the screen. Anyway, we are coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios. No, Rock Newman was a character. This is no doubt about it. He made a lot of money. Figure this out. For every dollar that Riddick Bowe made, I imagine that Rock Newman made close to a dollar, too. That's just the way Rock was. Rock was a smart businessman, a hustler, without a doubt. When you took Riddick over there to meet the Pope, that was a lame move, but it made Riddick look like he was some super celebrity, like a Muhammad Ali. And he wanted so bad, Riddick Bowe and Rock Newman wanted so bad to be the next Muhammad Ali. And you know, Riddick Bowe did, on this show, he did some great, great Muhammad Ali impressions. I think he even did Rodney Dangerfield on his show. So he did a lot of good impressions back in the days, but that was then and this is now. And the guy's like, toast. I just saw a picture of him, man. He must be close to 300 pounds right now, and he was going to step in the ring. Even with an NBA guy, you might get hurt. So they pulled him for that bout. Smart move, no doubt about that. So Joshua and Usyk, an hour and a half away on DAZN. Do you have DAZN? If you don't have DAZN yet, shame on you. I think it costs $20 a month now, but for me, I think it's $9.99. They sort of give you the introductory rate if you stick with them, if you've been with them from the start. I've been with them from the start. That and ESPN Plus, those are the two apps that I have as far as combat sports are concerned. Why ESPN Plus? Of course, they cover all the top-ranked fights coming to us from Las Vegas and around the world. Of course, ESPN Plus signed that big contract with Bob Arum, the Hall of Fame promoter, was now 87 years old. What's Bob Arum famous for? United States Attorney under Bobby Kennedy. He was in the Kennedy administration, the administration of John F. Kennedy back in the 1960s. And he's a big-time weed smoker. Always has been. I kid you not. He doesn't drink. He smokes weed. So when you see him rocking and rolling at 87, 88 years old, and these other guys barely getting around at 87, 88 years old, realize this. Arum didn't drink. The other guys drank. A lot. Don King especially. Of course, Don used to wake me up 6 o'clock in the morning. He put me to bed at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning doing some publicity for him at the, that was for like the first Tyson comeback fight with the Pizza Kid. Down there in Las Vegas, of course, and Don King, I never worked for him before as far as like in person. It was always on the radio and on the phone, this kind of stuff, right? So anyway, publicity. So he brings me into Vegas for this fight, and he says, you're going to work publicity with me. You're going to do some international interviews, but they'll be late at night. I said, how late? Oh, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Well, some of these interviews started at 10 o'clock, and we didn't get off until like 4 o'clock in the morning, right? So Don would go to bed at 4:30 in the morning, and I would go to bed at 4:30 in the morning, too. And he'd be calling me at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning to get up and go some more. He was a slave-driving dude, but that's what made him him. I mean, that's what made Don King the wire-haired wonder that he was. The fact that he was able to motivate people around him and get them to do things they normally wouldn't do, because I'm not coming downstairs after 2 hours. 4 hours, maybe. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. With such a gentle sway, and I knew right from the start, she was the one who could calm my heart. I know someday that we could happen in a special way. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Right here on Sports Byline. A couple years ago, I thought the hottest fighter in the world of mixed martial arts was a Mexican-American kid out of East L.A. by the name of Brian Ortega. Undefeated. Had a controversial fight regarding maybe some Flintstone vitamins, a.k.a. steroids. But the bottom line is, he was undefeated until they put him into a fight with Max Holloway. And Max Holloway was the world featherweight champion at the time. Not that Ortega wasn't ready, but he got cut early on. And when he got cut early on, he got really cut bad over one eye. And the fight was like over probably at the end of the first round, but surely in the second round. Anyway, they let the fight go into the fourth round. It was carnage, if I've ever seen it. I'm saying to myself, this guy's going to get hurt. He's never going to be the same. I've seen videos of Brian Ortega since. I think that he was changed by that beating. I think a beating like that will change you, not only mentally, physically, but emotionally and inside your head as well. So I think that Brian Ortega might be damaged goods going into this fight with Alexander Volkanovski. Volkanovski holds a real win over the aforementioned Max Holloway and then a very, very controversial win over Holloway in the rematch. But the bottom line is it's Volkanovski and Brian Ortega today at the UFC 266 main event coming to us from Las Vegas. Valentina Shevchenko in the co-main event against Lauren Murphy. Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz comes back. Nick Diaz has been on the show a couple of times in the past, of course, a few times in the past. He was in the studios here. He didn't tear apart the studios like he did the CBS television that night when he caused that riot. But Nick Diaz, the riot that he is taking on Robbie Lawler in a battle of old-timers as far as UFC 266 is concerned. Curtis Blaydes against Jazareno Rozenek, who I call the heavyweight mark in the UFC. And, of course, Jessica Andrade taking on Cynthia Calvello. I think it's a rematch, 125-pounds women's flyweight match. That's coming to you UFC 266 tonight. I'm probably saying don't buy it. Never buy anything that belongs to Dana White. But if you get a chance to watch it, it might be worth a main event worth watching. Anyway, in a few minutes, less than an hour maybe, the heavyweight championship of the world, according to like four or five sanctioning bodies, will get down when Anthony Joshua takes on Oleg Usyk. Of course, Oleg Usyk undefeated. Joshua having lost one fight. Looks like Joshua is going to remain undefeated. Looks like Joshua remains champion. We'll see what happens after the fight. Till next time, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline. 'Cause I love you so.